This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tess, straight from the brand new shiny Victorian Pride Centre here in St Kilda. That's how exciting is that, Macca?
It's very exciting, Tess, and it's always great to speak to our next guest, the soon-to-be member for Hawthorne, John Pesutto.
Guys, how are you this morning?
Good morning, John.
The campaign continues, John.
Well, you know, I ought to be paying you guys, but hey, where was my invitation this morning? I wanted to come to the new facility.
No, we're not. We're not open to the public yet.
We were able to make a very special exemption last week. A couple of reasons. One is Ro Allen came in because I actually gave her life membership. So there was that. Sally Capp, who was our landlord, well, City of Melbourne for the last 13 years in the City of Melbourne, and Martin Foley, the Minister for Equality. So we had them in as a special exemption, but only be a couple of weeks, John. Don't worry, you'll be able to come in and join us.
Oh, looking forward to it.
The next time we see you, we'll be in person, John, and here at the Pride Centre.
Now, I wanted to start off, because it's my birthday, John, I wanted to start off with a curly, cranky question.
Yes.
Socks. Now, I'm sure you saw during the week a couple of your colleagues went up into the Dandenongs distributing free pairs of socks to people who didn't have electricity or their house had been crushed by a tree or whatever. Can you tell me about that? Free socks.
Oh, look, I think... Well, I understand from what David Southwick was saying, they wanted to do something, and obviously the dampness up there meant that people were without. And,
well, should have given.
I mean,
them...
are we going to criticise people for? Sorry,
should have given them gumboots.
Well, yeah, but you know, remember, we're in. Oh, my colleagues and I are in opposition, so we can only do so much. But I think it was a good gesture. It was showing that, you know, their plight was being heard, and they were doing a little bit, you know, to help them in a time of real crisis. As long as the socks matched, I think that's the main thing.
Look, it's a lot of mouths those socks came out of.
And this is your birthday. Imagine it were some other. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. 40th. Thank you. Yeah,
yes,
I wish.
It's the big 4-0.
Yeah. So sorry. That was my cranky question.
Now, before we move on, I need to ask you. You haven't given us any feedback on my olives.
I did. The only thing was just. I don't want to say this on air. Can we say this off air?
No. Say it. Go on.
Well, it better be good.
I love olives. No. It was just the strength of the vinegar was probably a little much for me. But I did appreciate it, and I love olives. I do.
You like boring, bland Italian style salty olives.
Well, we took everything from the Greeks, you know, my ancestors, and yes, made it bland. That was our specialty. But
okay,
I was very grateful.
Let's move away to other topics then. So our next topic...
Yeah, let's go to beetroot.
No, we don't use language like that.
No, beetroot. Barnaby Joyce, the beetrooter.
No, Macca, we don't use language.
Come
like
on,
that.
I want to talk about the beetrooter.
Give us your reflections on the new Deputy Prime Minister. How do you feel about Barnaby Joyce now being our Deputy Prime Minister again?
Look, I give him. I'm going to give him a chance to settle into the role. I didn't know why there was a. To be honest, as a Victorian Liberal, I didn't know why there was a great need to change from Michael McCormack. Michael was the Deputy Prime Minister. I thought he was doing okay. Yeah, there were a few missteps here and there, but overall, I didn't see too many reasons to change leadership. But you know, that happens in parties. It happens to all parties. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I do think, though, that whilst cut-through can be a very important quality and is an important quality in politics, the government has been successful at winning the last three federal elections because despite mid-term upheavals, it's been able at the appropriate times to settle down and be a quite functional government that's been able to hold on to office. Whatever one might say, whichever way one might have voted, that is the facts. Those are the facts since 2013, right? So I hope that his ascension to Deputy Prime Minister again is not going to mean that there's going to be any kind of upheaval in the sort of policy settings. I've been looking with interest and some level of pleasure at the way policy's being directed. I think the Prime Minister's moves on climate change have been good and ought to continue, and I think he ought to be strongly supported in that. So I think that's the first thing I want to say, that the government's directions have been sound in my view. It's COVID management. I know we could debate a range of things, but overall on the economic front I think it was very good. But, you know, it's not about coming into government and turning the coalition into a series of unexpected, you know, events like the, you know, the Murray Basin, or Murray-Darling Basin plan that we saw during the week in the Senate. So I don't want to see any more of that. That's not what a coalition ought to be about. But it's been only a few days, so I hope it all settles down. So that's a long answer, but that's good. In a nutshell where I see it.
You said the magic word there, John, coalition. Now, should you, and we're not advocating for this, but should John be successful in getting pre-selection for the state seat of Hawthorne and return to the parliament, and if the Liberals Nationals win the next state election, you'll be in coalition. The deputy leader of the National Party, Steph Ryan, has come out and said she doesn't support Barnaby Joyce being the federal leader, as has the leader of the Nationals in WA. So, you know, the deputy leader of the National Party that you might be in coalition with doesn't support Barnaby being the leader. Are you going to have a chat to her about that?
No, I have all the time in the world for Steph and respect her. I think let me make a couple of points there. First of all, it is for her, she's got the prerogative with all of her national colleagues to have, if you like, a more immediate and direct view on those things. I do want to emphasise, though, something that's very important. We're talking about a big country where constituencies differ in terms of their priorities and the nuances around important issues. And the way Queensland Nationals in particular see issues reflect, I've got to say, they're not putting it on, it reflects a lot of the feedback and commentary they get from their own constituencies. Victorian Nationals, I think, are dealing in a very different political environment. And I think Steph and her colleagues are perfectly entitled to voice their opinions on internal Nationals matters, probably far more strenuously than someone like I could, who would be a coalition partner. But, you know, I think the Victorian Liberals have had a pretty sound contingent overall. You know, Darren Chester's been doing well, and I think very highly of him. Steph and Peter Walsh and others in the Victorian Nationals have been doing really well, in my view. That means they've got a very, you know, broad spectrum of viewpoints in the National Party across the eastern seaboard in particular that they've got to manage. And that is hard for them, but I don't think you should see what's going on federally in the Nats as being something that would be channeled or played out in Victorian politics. The coalition...
No, but it does have the capacity to impact on brand coalition, brand Liberal, brand National, doesn't it?
Oh, it could. And my comments earlier to your initial question, Macca and Tass, was just that, you know, the government federally has been moving in certain directions, have been able to manage things very well. in my view. So we don't want, from my perspective and from my colleagues, to see that upset. But, you know, in Victoria, since Ted Bailey and Peter Ryan reformed the coalition in the lead-up to the 2010 election, it's been really strong. And I wouldn't yet see any kind of tensions at the federal level. And obviously there have been, because we just saw for ourselves a leadership change this week. I'm not sure that's going to be replicated in any way down in Victoria. But, yeah, there are always going to be impacts on brand. I think you're right on that.
Now, I know, I was going to ask you, John, I know your preferred premier would be Michael O'Brien, so we'll get that out there to start. But if you had to choose between James Molino and Daniel Andrews, who would you choose? Who would you prefer?
Look, yeah, subject to all those caveats you just said, I think James has done actually relatively well. I'll park all of my criticisms, right? He's done well. If you were a Labor caucus member, I think you'd be happy with the way James has gone. No question, Daniel Andrews, he won the leadership in 2010. He took his party to a victory in 2014 and then again in 2018. So you can't, you know, disavow any of that, right? But I think a lot of people internally, and certainly a few people I speak to in around Labor circles, have been relieved at the kind of difference in approach. So even sort of cabinet-level discussions and deliberations, caucus, general party interaction, I think they've enjoyed that. Now, I don't think, I'm not suggesting or presaging that there's going to be a move on Daniel's leadership. I don't see that happening, and I think he'll come back, and I think he'll probably resume that kind of style. But I do think a lot of people internally have been quite happy with the way James has performed, which they weren't quite expecting, because no one's really put him in the front of the pack to take over whenever that time might come.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macra and myself, Tass, from the Victorian Pride Centre, broadcasting to you live. We are speaking with John Pizzuto. John Pizzuto is a commentator, a lawyer, a former Member of Parliament holding the seat of Hawthorne, and a Liberal Party candidate and aspirant.
Hopefully.
Are you yet a candidate?
Aspirant's a good word.
Are you yet a candidate?
No, we haven't called for any pre-selections just yet. The Electoral Commission still yet to draft or release its draft new boundaries, so everybody's going to wait for that and see what the lie of the land looks like.
We'll have to ask Comrade Kroger. We haven't had him on for a while. What he thinks? What do you reckon, John? Comrade Kroger, do you reckon he might have an opinion?
Michael's been in politics a long time and is very experienced and has strong views on just about all issues, as you'd expect for someone. But, you know,
he'll have an opinion.
You should invite him on.
He'll have an opinion.
We actually have to have him back. He's one of the people I have on the list to have in the studio when we can have guests again, because he'll love it here. Tass.
Look, I just want to go back a little bit. Before, I'm not sure if you listened, but just before you joined us, we had Bridget Vallance, the opposition spokesperson for Equality and member for Evelyn. Did you hear that by any chance?
I heard the last few minutes.
Hmm. What were your reflections on that?
Well, I thought you'd be very happy with what she said. I think she sounded like the strong supporter you'd want in an opposition and hopefully one day minister for Equality. I think, you know,
she committed to reinstating funding, didn't
she? She's going to give us money.
I heard you say that. I'd want to go back and just hear what she said, but that would be great if that were the case. And I'd expect she'd be very supportive. As you know, you've got a lot of people who, from my side of politics, who come onto the show and are quite supportive. So I would hope that that's welcomed by our listeners and the community more broadly.
I reckon we should.
Did you have any concerns? Or you wouldn't have concerns?
No,
sounded very supportive.
I don't have any concerns. I'm totally neutral. a bit of another birthday question. If we were to invite Bernie Finn on, what would we ask him?
Bernie Finn won't come here, Michael.
Have you ever invited Bernie?
No.
Have you actually extended an invitation?
No.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe he might accept your invitation. You never know.
Well, the last time we had someone as controversial as Bernie on, which was Pauline Hanson, and we lost a few members.
Yeah, we did, actually.
You're kidding. When?
Yeah, oh, that was
a few years ago.
A few years ago, yeah.
Well,
and also,
look,
Jackie...
Maybe... Go on.
No, go on. Go.
No, you go.
Look, I will ask Bernie, but I'm interested, what do you think we should ask him? Does he actually... I've got a question. Bernie's a person of faith, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
So, imagine you're Bernie, John. Puff your cheeks out a bit and, you know. So, Bernie, do you think LGBTQTI folk are God's work?
What
he'd say.
I'd phrase it a bit differently in my case, that we're all equal, we're all born equal, and we should all be accepted for who we are. I think Bernie would actually accept that, but I don't want to preempt. Mm. You know what I'd suggest, though? Mm-hmm. You're an engaging person. Despite this persona of being tough and all that, you're actually quite friendly, you guys. So I would actually suggest that one first step might be go and have a coffee and see whether there
with
are
Bernie Finn.
Together.
Are you serious?
But you're the one who's asked.
Are you serious?
You invited him in. But you've asked me. But
I haven't. Macca has.
Let's work this issue. Okay, Macca has. Macca has asked. Should you invite him on? If you were serious about that question, I don't know whether it is a serious question or not. But let's posit that it were serious. I would suggest rather than invite Bernie on. The point I'm making is you'd probably be better off first to go and have a conversation. That's what I meant. Have a conversation and see whether there would be any point to the invitation. If so, then I would strongly encourage it. But I don't know that just making an invitation is the best way to go. Maybe a better approach when reaching out with people who you don't have bridges with or don't have bridges with us or you. It's probably better sometimes just to have that quiet conversation first. That's all.
Coffee with Bernie Finn. It's like...
Well, it might be better than inviting him onto the show. You might be able to discuss some things and work out whether there's any purpose to an invitation.
Yes.
I'd love to see that. I'll serve you the coffee if you like.
Okay.
To watch that conversation.
Okay.
But you did ask me the question, I'm giving you an alternative way.
No, absolutely, absolutely right. We could actually... There's a few of his colleagues we could invite along. Yes.
You're a bit distracted, Michael. What's preoccupying you?
Oh, no, I'm just thinking if I was... I'm happy to do it. But actually, we could go across the road...
Can I make a broader point, though? I know there's a sort of a mixture of seriousness and facetiousness in this, but at a serious level, I do think on a lot of issues, particularly issues that would be important to our audience this morning, I just don't think there are enough conversations. I'm not pretending that you could have a conversation with Bernie necessarily or anyone else who you might think that would be in a similar kind of position, but I think the more discussions we have, not necessarily on air, sometimes off air, but the more discussions, the more constructive it can be. That's the more serious point I'd make.
Oh, no, look, I absolutely agree, and it was sort of, you know, a little bit of a play. I mean, look, I'd be happy to have a coffee with Bernie Finn. I would, of course, have to wear a disguise in case someone saw me, but I'd be happy to have a coffee with him. How about you facilitate it, John?
Don't make John do that.
I'm happy to, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I can't predict what kind of outcome there'll be, but if you're asking me to do that, of course I would do that. But I just think a lot of the things you've been fighting for in the audience and the Joy FM community's been fighting for over the years. Let's face it, is because
John,
there aren't enough conversations.
John,
and people.
It's not Joy FM. It's Joy 94.9. Please,
Joy 94.9.
Everyone goes.
Write that down and see it on my head.
Joy FM is a station that has some different interests to us. Now, people always call it Joy FM. It's not. I just swore FM. Tess.
I gotcha. But if you want me to, if you want me to do anything, I'll always do that.
Thanks a lot, John.
You know, I bear that in mind.
Much appreciated.
I don't know what you've got me into this morning, Macca.
No, I think Macca should do his own dirty work. You don't need to do that for him. I'm sure Macca will be very happy to have coffee with Bernie Finn, and he can organise that himself. John, let's shift tact. I'm interested in your reflections on what's happening in the COVID space again. So there's been a lot spoken about. There's a lot happening in the vaccination program. This morning again, we see a headline report showing that, you know, only a third of people who work in the aged care sector have had one vaccine. There's now been a commitment to phase out AstraZeneca. What do you think's going on? What are your reflections on the national vaccination program and the way in which we're handling COVID in Australia?
Well, to be perfectly candid about it, it obviously hasn't been doing as well as it should. That's the first point. I do think that for me, there's been a troubling emergence of kind of a territorial or jurisdictional barriers being put up in the way this is being conducted overall, the vaccine rollout, quarantine and the rest. I'm just getting concerned that we've seen over recent weeks, certainly since the last time we spoke, both ways, federal, state, in between states, there's this mounting, if you like, dysfunction. It might be overstating it slightly, but that's where it's heading. And, you know, we used to talk, you know, I remember last year when we used to talk about National Cabinet and its potential to be a really good mechanism for, you know, and a clearinghouse for issues that emerge, whether it's vaccine or quarantine. And I just don't think that's working nearly as well as it should. So when you look at this, you know, a lot of the language going back and forth, as I said, between states and between federal and state is really starting to concern me a bit. And yes, all governments have to step up. Federally obviously has to drive it. It's a national effort. And states have obviously a crucial role to play. But there's just not enough of that going on, I don't think.
Yeah. You know, I have a theory, John, on AstraZeneca as to why the feds went so hard in you know, getting AstraZeneca when they had the option of others at the time. I'm not criticising the certification process or what has happened subsequently, you know, where we've discovered it doesn't suit everyone. I actually think, and I know that you'll think this is a bit cynical, that the federal government went for AstraZeneca with an eye on the next election so that perhaps Scott Morrison could wrap himself in the flag and say, this locally produced vaccine, you know, has saved our bacon. That's my thought. Am I wrong?
I wouldn't see it that way. I think, to be fair to governments, Liberal, Labor and other, I don't think they would be making, having worked not only as a politician in Parliament, but also as an advisor in a government, in a Premier's office and with ministers, I think, not that I ever worked in circumstances that could remotely be compared to a pandemic, but I think, to be fair to politicians, I don't think they're making decisions as immediately connected as you might think to an election outcome. I think what drives them is, I don't want to make a decision that is going to be catastrophic. I think, and there is a difference. There is a difference. And I would say that about the state Labor government. I think they've made decisions which are not, as much as you might suspect, that you might argue they are about the next election. I guess in some ways everything is directly or indirectly, but I think it's more about, I'm going to make a decision. Whether I've got the right advice to justify it, I'm concerned about the possibility of a catastrophic outcome. I'm going to make that call. I think it's unfair to say politicians, they're doing this blatantly for that. I don't think, at the time of the AstraZeneca decision last year, there was broad support for it. Yeah. I'm not saying that the program, once that was adopted, was adequate. Obviously, rates weren't as high as they should have been. But this is a problem that's being felt around the world. And I don't think it's fair to attribute those kind of motives to governments, unless you've got strong evidence for that. I wouldn't see it that way.
It's just my theory. Now, we've got a message here. Tell Bernie it's Joy FM. He'll say, praise the Lord and come running in.
The message from Richard from Caulfield, Macca.
Yes. When is John running for PM? As an otherwise Labor voter, I'm looking forward to the day. Best thing you can do, Richard, is move from Caulfield to Hawthorne, join the Liberal Party and vote for John.
Well, actually Richard, Richard's very kind, and thank you, Richard.
Actually, in Caulfield, you're in James Newbury's seat, aren't you?
No, that's David Southwick.
Oh, sock man. Okay. So,
so John, thank you for your time this morning.
You're going to put down his tragedy. Oh, yes. Take care. Look forward to coming in.
Cheers.
We've had a whimsical conversation. Thank you very much for your time, John.
Thank you.
Always great to engage with you. And next time we do, it'll be in person here in St. Kilda at the Pride Centre.
Much more serious.
Enjoy the rest of your
day. Take care.
Enjoy the rest of your day. That was John Pizzuto, commentator, lawyer, and
comedian.
Well, also a really good guy.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.